And I want to try and share the screen of something about Hasidic, this Chabad Hasidic discourses. And so I'm going to try, right, okay. So it happens to have been made for the Oxford Chabad Society some time ago. So the point is today, Tuesday, Kaf Dalet Tevet, the 24th of Tevet, is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Lviv. I just want to put this in order. Right. So I thought, and we are studying in this session. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Tali.
We study discourses by the Rebbe, by the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe. And today has been the Yahrzeit of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So I thought we would spend just a few minutes, first of all, understanding or trying to understand this idea of the Chabad Hasidic discourse. So here we have the library of discourses. We're not considering other kinds of writing, halachic writing, letters, sichot, talks. We're just focusing on discourses. Now look at this. Rabbi Shneur Zalman, in the first generation, his teachings were collected in manuscript in 27 volumes. And those 27 volumes were published in the 20th century. Before then, they were in manuscript. Now, the manuscripts were not in his handwriting. He would give a talk and it would be listened to by his followers, his Hasidim, and some of his followers had brilliant powers of memory and they would remember pretty well every word that he said. And after the talk, which was usually on Shabbat or it might have been on Friday night, so it could be 24 hours later, they would write down the talk and they wrote a transcript. And so of those transcripts of his teachings, there are 27 volumes, which eventually were published in the 20th century. Now, based on those volumes, his grandson, who was also one of the people who wrote down the transcripts, published in 1837 and then 1848, collected volumes of his teachings going through the Torah, Torah Or, and Likutei Torah. So that is his teachings. Now, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, apart from his discourses, also wrote his book Tanya, which is considered the like Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah of the Chabad Hasidic Library. And in fact, his first writings were halachic. And the very first volume that he published was on laws of Torah study. And before then already, he had written a new version of the Code of Law, the Shulchan Aruch, taking the Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Joseph Caro, written around 1550. And since 1550, many commentaries had been written on it. And taking the most important commentaries, Rabbi Shneur Zalman wrote a new updated version of the Code of Law. And that was his first book that he wrote. The only thing he published from that in his lifetime was the Laws of Torah Study, a slim volume. And then after he passed away, several volumes of his Code of Law were published. Unfortunately, there was a fire in the city where he lived, and a number of the manuscripts of his Code of Law were lost. But a lot of it is published and it is assiduously studied by many Torah scholars outside Chabad as well. It's regarded as a very fascinating work on halacha. Then we have the next generations, and you can see the second Lubavitcher Rebbe with 8 volumes in his lifetime and 18 later. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe with 41 volumes, 27 volumes, the fourth Rebbe, the fifth Rebbe, 31 volumes, the previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, 24 volumes, and Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, 30 volumes of discourses. We're only considering discourses. Now, what are these discourses? Here is a picture of Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Ladi, interesting tradition, how we come to have a picture of him. And then we have other, now this person, Rabbi Yoel Kahn, he was the Choseh, he was the person for our Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, who died in 1994. He was the person who would hear the Rebbe's teachings and could remember them and write them down later, just as they did in the first generation. So those teachings that we, you and I, studied together in the Aleph group, they were heard by Rabbi Yoel Kahn, written down in a transcript after Shabbat, and it's that transcript that we are studying together. Sometimes the Rebbe would edit it later and it would be published in the Rebbe's lifetime as a published edited thing, edited by the Rebbe. But most of the ones that you and I study have not been edited by the Rebbe, but they're transcripts by Rabbi Yoel Kahn writing down what the Rebbe said. Now, what exactly is a maimer? What is a Chabad discourse? So here we look at the system of the Sfirot. So we have you ever encountered anything like this, Hannah? You're muted.
Yes. Actually, not like this, not set up like this, but I have definitely seen Kabbalah, the system, explained like this.
Okay,
yes.
Beautiful. That's excellent. Okay, so on the highest level is the Ein Sof, the infinite, which is like Atzmut, the essence of the divine. Then we have the Tzimtzum, the contraction, the veiling, the hiding of that. Then we have the realm of the downchaining of the worlds, which comes down all the way down here. Then we have aspects of Keter, which means crown, which is at the highest level, also called Adam Kadmon, the first man, but it's like it's not man, it's the infinite aspect of the divine. And then we have the downchaining of the worlds. And in that we have the three higher spherot, the three higher emanations, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Then the seven lower spherot, which are kindness, severity, and so on. They're seven attributes. Then Malchut, kingship. And all that is the highest world of Atzilut, emanation. And then there are lower worlds of creation, formation, action. Finally, you come down to our world. And it's in this... So here we have a glimpse of, so the discourse will use ideas from this spiritual cosmos. So here we have the glimpse of a discourse said by our seventh Rebbe in 1980, and it's been styled for popular presentation. Now, I'm not sure how well this comes over Zoom, but let's just try.
Thank you. Hayim Tchilas Maasecho Dikorn Layim Rishin. Loch is the Mamshir Tchik Lissoil Humi Lelikim Yanki. Noch in der Dorf, man nicht schon mit seiner, wie er sagt, in Tanje. In Duden auf dem Fall, dass ich im Morschel abel, was nimmt es mir mehr vorab. Ich darf auch, wie wird mir sonst auch so, was nimmt es mir mehr vorab, und ich hab noch so eine Szene. Ich sag, aber das Gute nimmt sich das der Fuhn, was er denn nicht verbunden mit Asmus schon vorab. Kennt es? Liebig, weil wir der Odermeleber Rossi. Dem und der sein Nefesh Abam ist gestanden in einer Meile, Meile in der Dabi und Meile, Meile ist nicht kein der noch ins Mansim Chosenu. Und dem und wird sich nicht gala, das was steht viel bei Kessel, bei Bein, Reish Hashone, Shachidisch, Niskasse. Und dem und ist mit Shemeya, mit Piha Gwura, alle Dei, Kriyas HaMelech, Dom Malki Mishiche, bin Heira, Biomeinu, Mamosh.
Right, so that gives a kind of a picture of these discourses. Now, that discourse said by the Rebbe is the kind of discourse that we are studying, and it's based on the teachings of the previous Rebbeim going back to
Rebbe. You might have seen videos like this before, but here's the big secret.
Sorry.
Anyone can make one of these videos in a few minutes.
1 second.
You might think you need a professional animator or to learn some fancy editing program,
wait.
But that's not the case.
Sorry, that's
fact,
the, that's
know
the
you
danger
can make a professional
with YouTube.
Video just like this, even if you've never made a single video before. Let's find out how.
Hi, I'm Brett Callen, and in this video, I'm going to show you how anyone can quickly and easily create doodle videos, just like the one you're watching right now, using Doodly, our drag-and-drop doodle software that allows anyone, regardless of tech skills, to create highly engaging professional doodle videos in a matter of minutes. Because doodle videos are fun and engaging, they can get you more clicks, likes, shares, and most importantly, sales than any other type of video. Which is why Doodly is now the video tool of choice for over 150,000 businesses all over the world, in virtually every industry and profession that you can imagine. Doodle videos are perfect for marketing, teaching, fundraising, personal
training,
and even inspiring others.
Do you need help?
Oh, one of the keys to a successful video?
Don't worry, it's such a relief. It's not so bother me.
Okay, I began recording. All right, so that is the kind of discourse that we are studying together. So now we're going to try and explore one of these discourses. So let me share the screen. And this time, what we're going to be looking at is a discourse by our Rebbe. And I just have to find the discourse before we share the screen. And we already heard the, one second, let me just focus on this in order to find it. Right, here we are. Okay, so now I have to share. So I think we're going to go straight into the discourse rather than first looking at the verse. I think we can now see it. Yes? Can we see it all? Can we see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the discourse begins with quoting a verse from the Seder of the week. Va'era el Avraham. And I was seen, I appeared to Abraham, El Yitzchak, and to Isaac, Ve'el Yaakov, and to Jacob. Ve'keil Shein Dalet Yud. With my name, Aleph Lamed, Keil, and Shein Dalet Yud. Ushmi Hashem, and my name, Yudke Vavke, Lo Nodati Lahen, was not known to them. Now here we have this parsha, this sedra begins after Moses asked God, why have you caused bad to this people? I went, you told me to go to Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let them go. And instead of letting them go, Pharaoh has become more cruel to the Jewish people in Egypt. And so Moses asks, why is this? And God answers to him, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with certain divine names, but not through my name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is the tetragrammaton, the highest level of name. Lachain, therefore, emol ivnei Yisrael, go and tell the Jewish people, ani havaya, I am Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And I will take you out of the suffering of Egypt. And then it goes on to tell us, it speaks about the ancestry of Moses. And then it ends off, line 11, Moshe ben Shmonim Shana. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now, so that's the quote, that's like a quote and summary from the biblical text of the Parashat HaShavua of the Seder of the Week. So now the discourse asks, V'tzarich lahavin, we have to understand, Ma nogeya seder hayachas shel Moshe v'Aaron? What relevance is that it should tell us Moses' ancestry and Aaron to the going out of Egypt, that the verse should have to put that there. V'gam tzarich lahavin, and we also have to understand why does it say about Moshe and Aaron that the hayu b'nei shmonim shana, that they were 80, Moses 80, Aaron 83. So in other words, we're talking about Moses achieving redemption for the Jewish people. But in order for him to achieve redemption, there is the ancestry of Moses. Somehow or other, the ancestry of Moses is involved. And in fact, the ancestry of Moses goes back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Moses is the seventh, and he is the seventh from Abraham. Because we have Abraham, we then have the next generation, Isaac, then Jacob. Jacob had a son, Levi, that's the fourth generation. Levi had a son, Kahat, that's the fifth generation. Kahat had a son called Amram, that's the sixth generation. And Moses is the son of Amram, that's the seventh generation. So that is the relationship of Moses to his ancestry. And then there's the question, why does it tell us his age, that he's 80 years old? Right, so now in section Bet, we consider this whole idea about him being 80 years old. And it's going to be a little bit surprising. Now we can consider further. But Masha Katuva Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, that Moses was 80 years old. Because, first of all, nosaf lechach shetzarich la'avin, in addition to the fact that we have to understand madua hutzrach ha-katuv la'hadgish inyon zeh, why the verse had to emphasize this. Hine odzo, there's another problem. Sha'al pi ha-cheshbon, if we calculate things according to the teachings of the sages, the calculations of the sages, hare adain, Lo haya Moshe ben Shmonim Shana. He actually wasn't yet 80. He was in his 80th year. Elerak nichnas l'shnat ha-shmonim. He'd entered his 80th year. Now that's an interesting thing, because as soon as a person enters their 80th year or any year, their 25th year or their 16th year, they're in that year. Even though we always count the birthday, we say, how old are you? And we speak about our last birthday. But very often in Jewish situations, we speak about our next birthday. So for example, each person has a chapter of Tehillim, which relates to them, which is connected with their age. But it's their age according to their next birthday. So a person who's 16 years old, their next birthday will be 17. And so therefore, Tehillim Yud Zayin, chapter 17 of Psalms, would be their Tehillim. And similarly, Moses, as soon as he is 79 years old, the English way of putting it, he's entered his 80th year, and it's Tehillim number 80, which would be his Tehillim. Of course, Tehillim had not yet been written when Moses was alive. Tehillim was written by King David several hundred years later, but that concept of the Tehillim of one's age is looking ahead. So when the Torah says he's 80, it's actually he's in his 80th year. And then he gives a whole calculation according to the traditions of the sages about the genealogy, which I'm not going to go into. So I did send a PDF of this file in the invitation email. And if you understand Hebrew and you want to explore it, you can explore the details there. But it'll take up too much time. We want to get back to the basic thing. So we've got the question, why does the verse emphasize that he's 80 years old? Now, Ula'ir midivrei mafarshim. Now, there are some commentators which give a very interesting reason why it says that he's 80. Shekavanata katuv la'afliet godel malat Moshe va'Aaron. The Torah wants to tell us how fantastic Moses and Aaron are. She'av shehayu zkenim b'nei shmonim, even though they were elderly people, 80 years old, hitrichu atzmam v'hishkimu v'hizdarzu le'lechel paro. They bothered, they were involved, they got up early, they did all the different things, going to Pharaoh, b'shvil tovatam shel Yisrael, for the sake of the Jewish people. And that's also a teaching, a very suitable teaching for every individual. How much we have to care about doing good for another person. And we shouldn't say, oh, I'm an old, honored person and it doesn't fit my honor to do something for the benefit of another person. Well, the Rebbe is here speaking not only about physical benefit, but also spiritual benefit. And so the idea that an elderly person might go spend some time, let's say, teaching younger people or even children, and he shouldn't say, oh, I'm an old, honored person, I shouldn't be involved in something like that. I should teach on a higher, more advanced level. Of course, there's also the idea that it gives a great encouragement to people who are of a certain age, as it's sometimes put, that Moses only began when he was 80 years old. So there's hope for everyone. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean we should delay it till we're 80. We got to get going now. So the thing is, so the comment by these commentators is in a sense rejected by the Rebbe, because it says when Moses was 120, he was still very youthful, right? There's a verse in the Torah, when he was 120, he's very youthful. So if when he was 120, he's very youthful, it's no surprise that he's youthful when he's 80, 40 years earlier. So the point is, why does the Torah emphasize the fact of him being 80? And it's in this that we are going to turn to a discourse that the Rebbe is here referencing. And this is in section Gimel. Acha'inyin hu, but the thing is as follows. Kafi shemevi'a tzemach tzedek ba'or ha'torah. As the tzemach tzedek, that's the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in a discourse in one of the 41 volumes of his long book, 41 volumes long, called Or HaTorah, the Radiance of Torah. And he writes there, why? Shehiktim ha'katuv. And what it says in Panim Yafot, which is a interesting commentary on the Torah, and he quotes that commentary on the Torah. So first of all, we're dealing with the first question. Shehikdima katuv seder yachas, that the verse, first of all, puts the genealogy of Moses. Kedei levaya, in order to make clear, asher Moshe v'Aaron hem dor shvi'i le'Avraham. They are the seventh generation of Abraham. V'chol hashvi'in chavivin. And all the number sevens are precious. Like we see in the week, Shabbat is the seventh day, and that is something precious. Omosif levayer, and in this discourse, he goes on to explain, this is the third Lubavitcher Rebbe that Tzemach said it. Shezel gamma shenema va'erai l'Avraham. That's what it means. I appeared to Abraham with my name, Keil Shin Dalad Yud. Shehu al derech sha'amalo olamo dai. Now we have to go from one page to the other. You see, the question is, what is this name, Shin Dalad Yud, right? That name, Shin Dalad Yud. Now, the Talmud says that when God created the world, it's a very beautiful image, this, it was unfurling like, now there is, when you're weaving, so the different threads, you make them go in and out in different ways, and you have a shuttle. Now, the shuttle is a piece of wood with the, let's say you're weaving wool, and it's got the wool wound around it, and you throw the shuttle in between the warp and the weft, and you throw the shuttle in between them, and then you change the direction of the loom, and so that thread is now part of the cloth that you're weaving, and you now go to the next thread, and you throw the shuttle the other way around. Now, when you throw the shuttle, it unrolls. And so the Talmud says, when God created the world, it was like unrolling from a shuttle, and it could go on infinitely. So God said, die, enough. And that sort of fixed the world. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember what photography used to be like. If you develop things yourself, that you would put the let's say you've made a print and you would put it in a tray of developer, and slowly the image would come, and then you have to fix the image, because if you leave it in the developer, it would all go black. So you have, this is black and white photography, so you had to fix the image. So this fixing of the image, that's like Shin Dalad Yud, die. Sha'ama, that he said to his world, die, it's enough. So that is Aleph Lamed Shin Dalad Yud, represents this fixing of the universe, the crystallization of the universe. Shezoi Abchina Sheheira. This is the aspect which shone B'sheshet Yemei Bereshit, in the 6 days of creation. V'chein Amru Rabotenu Zichronam Libracha, and so too said our rabbis. Behibaram, that when God created the world, it says Behibaram, he created them, he created everything in the world, and they show how that word Behibaram can be rearranged as the word Ba'avraham, with or for and through Abraham. Shezeu inyan olam chesed yibaneh, which is the idea of chesed, of kindness. And Avraham, that is one of the patriarchs, Abraham, represents the attribute of kindness, because one of the things we see about him in the Torah is the way that he does good things to people, like when God is going to destroy the people of Sodom, he asks God, he pleads for God, maybe there'll be some righteous people in the city, don't destroy them. Don't destroy the city on behalf of those righteous people. And it turns out there aren't any righteous people. So it's not enough to save the city. The only righteous person is is Lot and Lot's daughters, and so they manage to and his wife, and they get them all to escape. But they can't. Their spiritual strength is not enough to save the city. But we see how Abraham is an expression of kindness. Now, that is the kindness with which God creates the world in the 7 days of creation. Omnam Shmi Hashem. Now, that is the patriarchs. They knew about the name Chesed. You see, also the name Kale. Let's just go back to this Aleph Lamed. You see, Aleph Lamed, that word, that is also a divine name of God, but that word Aleph Lamed represents kindness. So we're talking about the kindness which is involved.
Yeah, in
the
it's, that's fine. I can come to hand, and if you, Jeremy, yeah, but you're going to have...
Right. Okay, so it's that kindness which creates the world, and that is all what was revealed to the patriarchs. But then there's a higher level. Omnam, however, Shmi Havaya, but my name Yudke Vavke, the tetragrammaton, Shehu Bechinat Shabbat Shalemayla Misheshet Yemei Bereshit. That is the Sabbath. It's the seventh day, which is higher than the 6 days of creation. Shabbat laHashem, Shabbat dedicated to Yudke Vavke, Lo Nodati Lahem, was that quality was not revealed to the patriarchs. V'zoi habchina shenigleta leMoshe. That's what was revealed to Moses. Ve'im kein zeu inyan kol hashvi'im chavivin. So that is the idea of all the sevenths are precious. Kechavivut haShabbat, like the preciousness of the Shabbat, al sheshet yemei hamaseh, compared with the 6 days of daily action, the 6 days of the week. Okay, so I've stopped sharing. Hi, Gloria. I've stopped sharing in order that we can discuss this and ask any questions and see whether we actually understand it. Okay, so... would anyone like to comment? Yes, Matityahu.
I was wondering which sefer this text we're reading is from.
Thank you, a very good question. I should have said right at the beginning. This text is a discourse said by the Rebbe on Pashut Va'era in 1960, Tavshin Kafhei, 5725. And I can't remember, I didn't work out whether it's December 1964 or January 1965. And so where it is available now is in the Dvar Malchut. There's a publication that comes out every week by Chabad, and it's also online, and you can find it online with the title Dvar Malchus in English or Hebrew. And there is that discourse that starts on page 5, and it's available to download. Anyone can download it, which is how I get it and share it with you. The discourse is also printed in various Chabad publications, but without pointing. It's in the Dvar Malchut that it's pointed. And given punctuation, and also a commentary is written to make it easier to understand if one only understands Ivrit. So that's this text. Any other points from anyone else? Yeah? Anyone? Pinchas Elior, are you okay with it?
Yeah, no, it's quite well known. Shindalit Yudis is enough of the... All the patriarchs had troubles. They were really troubled. Abraham was thrown into the furnace and had to wander. Yitzhak, yeah, same thing. And the troubles of Jacob, we all know. So Shakei, it's like enough. Asher says it. And,
enough to all the trouble.
Yeah.
That's one way of seeing it. But the other way of understanding it that we might encounter in the discourse is that what can be seen to be troubles were that's the avodah of the person. That's the service of the person. So we can see them as difficult things, but they are also, in a sense, the service of that person, and that's the way they relate to the divine. Okay, anything else from anyone else? Eve?
I guess I'm just wondering, I'm sure you're going to tell us how Shabbat connects to 80 or getting out of Israel. I mean, Shabbat is rest, right?
Right,
and
right.
Getting out of Israel is quite energetic.
Right, that's a beautiful point. The thing is, there are two questions that were asked at the beginning. Why is the ancestry of Moses and Aaron given? And that's the answer to do with him being the seventh from Abraham. Why is he 80? That's another thing that we're going to find out now.
So the name has to do with the ancestry, with being number seven, because Shabbat is number seven.
Right, right.
Okay. Has nothing to do with going out of Egypt or being 80.
Well, it all links up together. These are all concepts which join together.
Which will join eventually. Can I ask you an idiot question before you go? And I mean, this is slightly beside the point. You keep saying, you know, of Liadi, and it's Lubavitch. So what's Liadi?
I keep saying what?
Well, the you know, the rabbi of Liadi.
Oh, Liadi. Rabbi Schnerzan.
What's Liadi?
Liadi is a little town in Belarus. Lubavitch is also a little town in Belarus. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman lived, first of all, in a town called Lyozna, and I can't remember which way around. He lived in Liadi and he lived in Lyozna. Those are two little towns in Belarus. And he lived at certain times in both of them. Later, when he passed away, his son, Rabbi Dov Ber, became the rabbi in the town of Lubavitch. And it was after the Napoleonic War, and so it was a whole new atmosphere. So he moved to a new town, which was Lubavitch. All three towns are in Belarus.
Okay, I got it now. It's just like, you know, where did that spring from? So now I got it. Thank you.
Right. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman is generally called Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi.
Yeah. Okay.
As was the custom then. Of calling people by the names of the towns they came from.
Well, I guess if everybody's called, you know, Shmuel or Abraham, you have to.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, but you see, they didn't, for the most part, they didn't have formal surnames until later on.
Right. 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 Thank you.
Right. Okay. So now we're going back to this. Oh, wait a minute. Matisyahu?
Yes, maybe you will address it, but I was thinking about the concept of the sevens being the most beloved or more beloved, so that the last Lubavitcher Rebbe was the seventh of his kind. And I believe, do we live in the seventh generation because of him, or is it because of the year we're in, 6,000 and whatever we're in?
No, with the Rebbe, we inherit the seventh generation.
Okay.
So the Rebbe was the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, and we continue to be the followers of the Rebbe, even if he's in the other world. But it's his teachings which inspire us, particularly in his perspective on the Talmud, the Code of Law, other aspects of Jewish thought, the Midrash, the Torah. And so we are the seventh generation. And it's the seventh generation, like Moshe, which is spiritually empowered to reveal the divine in this world and bring the process of creation to its next climax with the coming of Mashiach.
Amen.
What? Hannah, is there anything you'd like to ask or comment?
No, it's okay.
I'll go
maybe
on.
Maybe in a minute.
Okay, well, don't be shy.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're now going back to the discourse. So here we are. Now, So this is line 10 on the page Zayin. U'mamshich ha-tzemach tzedek. So the tzemach tzedek continues, now talking about the age of 80. And this time he brings from the same commentary, Panim Yafot, that the idea of Moshe is 80, and Aaron for that matter, Kashur in Mashe Katuv is connected with what it says, Yemesh Notenu, the days of our years are 70 years, the Imbigvurot, and if with power, Shurim Shana, 80 years. So 80 years is the idea of Gvura, of strength. And he explains, She'inyan Shivim Shana, that the 70 years comes from the seven Midot, from those seven attributes, kindness, severity, mercy, victory, submission, dedication, fulfillment. Those are the seven attributes, the seven sfirot, the seven divine attributes. Achinyan shmonim shana, but the 80 years, nimshach mikidchat mina, comes from the eighth crown. Now the eighth crown, if you count from the bottom upwards, so you count from malchut, from kingship, and then you have dedication, and then you have submission, victory, mercy, severity, kindness, that's seven. And what's just above? Bina, which is Sfirat HaBina, the attribute of understanding. Now, understanding is a very interesting concept. This Sfirat HaBina, and about that Sfira, it says, Ani Bina Li Gvura. I am understanding and I have power, Gvura, might. And that is a quote from Proverbs. So I am understanding, I have Gvura. And it's known, Shahid Galut Atik Babina. Now that's a very interesting idea. Atik is the deeper level of Keter. Keter, crown, at the top of the system of Sfirot. And Atik is the inwardness of Keter, the inwardness of the crown. And that is revealed in Bina, understanding. Now what that means is, you see, Atik in Keter is delight, ta'anuk. And where is delight revealed in a person's life? There are different ways in which a person might experience different kinds of delight. There's delight from material things. The Rebbe was once trying to explain in a letter what it means, an intense, intense delight. And in Hasidic teachings, in Hasidic thought, the greatest delight that a person can experience is the experience of something cerebral, something in the mind, understanding. And the Rebbe gave an example of this in a letter. He said, imagine a scientist who has been working on a piece of research for several years, trying to understand a certain puzzle in the world of physics or whatever it is. And suddenly that he's got it. The experiment worked. He now understands it. And it's the fruit of several years, very, very deeply concentrated effort, cerebral effort, practical effort. And suddenly it's there. Now that delight, so, you know, compare that. That delight is something beyond any other kind of delight from the Hasidic perspective. So that's that revelation of delight. Of course, there are other delights. There are delights that parents have in their children. That's another form of delight, a very great delight, which also takes a few years. flourish in the right way. So there is this revelation of delight in benign understanding. Now the idea here, Eve, here we come back to the going out of Egypt. Vahareya inyan di yetziat Mitzrayim. Now the concept of going out of Egypt, hu al yedeit galut bechinat atik, is through the revelation of this delight. So that revelation of delight, and that revelation of delight is in the realm of Binah, that's the going out of Egypt. And Binah is the eighth level beyond the other seven. So the other seven are very beautiful, but the eighth level is even higher. And so that's why the 80 of Moses is an important factor. Moses is the seventh, which is something wonderful, and the seventh, the Shabbat, is higher than the other six. But there is another aspect to it, that it comes from the eighth level of Binah. Now that's also why it says in the Zohar in a number of places, and it gives here in note 36 various references, שיציאת מצרים נמשך מסיתך דיובלה. The going out of Egypt comes from the realm of, now Yovela really means the Jubilee. And the Jubilee signifies freedom. But the Jubilee also represents Sfirat Habina, the attribute understanding. Lachain, and therefore, this is what the Zohar says, I think, and therefore, no, the Pardes of Rav Moshe Kodavero. Therefore, Nizkar Chamishim Pa'amim Yitziat Mitzrayim Batorah. The concept or the phrase going out of Egypt is mentioned 50 times in the Torah. Keneged Chamishim Sha'arei Bina, corresponding to the 50 gates of understanding. So there we have the 50 gates of understanding. That is really what the going out of Egypt really represents. V'lachein hayu Moshe v'Aaron. That's why Moses and Aaron, who brought the Jews out of Egypt, tzrichim liot b'nei shmonim shana. They had to be 80 years old. Sha'az me'irim b'chinat gvura elyona, because then there shines into them this upper level of gvura, of might, of strength, which comes from the Sfirat Habina, the attribute of Bina. So let's just stop over here. So now we've actually got two basic aspects of this discourse. We've got the answer to the question, why does it give the ancestry of Moshe and Aaron? And it's in order to understand that they are the seventh, and it's the seventh generation which is able to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt, and Moses is the seventh. And also the fact of them being 80, so it moves from the number seven to the number eight, that the number eight is even higher, and it saps, it draws from the attribute Vura, the attribute's power on this higher level, which is also delight. And that quality of delight, tanub, that is what really signifies the going out of Egypt in a personal way, the delight of going free from all limitations. If I could just expand on this for a second, even though the discourse doesn't talk about it in this way, but meitzarim, mitzrayim and meitzarim, Egypt, the word Egypt, relates also, Mitzrayim, relates also to the word Meitzarim, which is the same consonant letters but different vowels. And Meitzarim means straight, means a narrow restriction. And going out of Egypt means breaking out of that restriction. And that's also a quality of Ta'anug, of delight. Okay, so we're pausing at this moment to see if there are any points that anyone would like to raise or to ask.
No, it's just it's very interesting. Like it makes sense, everything that you're saying. So okay. That's good.
Okay, well that's certainly good. Okay.
Yes.
if If anyone feels there's something they can't understand, can you? Yes, Eve?
No, I mean, it just means that, it just means that everybody can have that Moshe in them, right? Everybody can be 80, regardless of their real age.
Yes, yes. That's an extremely important point. The Moses, which is inside each of us, has this quality of 80, and we might be 15 years old, but it's still part of our inner being. Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's a very good point. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Gloria, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. It's really interesting. I'm thinking about the light as being enlightenment, which is what it obviously must signify, that at the seventh generation is enlightenment comes. Mm. But I can't quite get my head around this sort of the gematria of it, the number of years. Why? But although you've just said, actually, you've just explained it, that you can be 15, not 18, you can have that, but it's a kind of...
You have that because of the innermost, the idea that inside, you see, all the Jewish souls are connected together. So we are all connected to the highest levels, and the highest levels within the Jewish people, there's the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and there's also Moses. And it's Moses, which is really the essence of the spiritual identity of each Jew. And so that quality is there within us.
Thank you.
Okay, let's try and go a little bit further. Right, so here we are. One second. Just trying to see where we're up to. Page. Right. Now, according to this, it's understood. Shehein Seda Hayachas Shel Moshe. Whether it's the genealogy of Moses, Vehene Yota Ben Shmonim Shana, or the fact that he's 80 years old, Shayach V'Nogea L'Inyan D'Yetziat Mitzchayim. They're both relevant for the going out of Egypt. It does mention it. I said before, it didn't mention it, but it does. Because the whole idea of going out of Egypt is going out of limitations and borders. Which includes going out of the borders of holiness. From which comes, in a kind of down-chaining process, the simple concept of slavery in Egypt, v'ad l'galut Mitzrayim, including the exile and suffering in Egypt. Now, let's just understand this. At every level of our lives, we can feel that we are trapped. We're in Egypt. We need to go beyond. Now, this might be in a very sophisticated way. You might have an artist who is painting in a certain kind of style. And suddenly she starts to feel, this style of art that I've been doing the last couple of years, it's been very good. I've had a couple of exhibitions, but I've got to go beyond it. It's limiting me. And she starts finding a way to break out of that into a new style, into a new dimension. And then she finds a new dimension to art, and it's like going out of Egypt, right? So at every level, there's a breaking out of Egypt. So this can be in very spiritual terms. That nonetheless, the person tries to go beyond and discover a higher level, a broader level, a wider level. So in order for us to break out of this, and of course, it also relates to much more primitive kinds of Egypt. You know, a person might be trapped by some kind of negative habit that they have. You know, it might be someone who's trying to stop smoking or stop drinking or stop biting their nails, or whatever it is. They're stuck in something and they want to break out of it. So, ubishvil zeh, and for this, yesh tzorech begilui na'ale. There's needed a revelation of light, as Gloria just said. Shohu lema'ale malema'ala migidrei ha'olam, which comes from beyond the borders of the world. V'zehu ma sh'agula hayta al yedei Moshe davka. Now that's why the redemption came about through Moshe. Shohu dor shvi l'Avraham, because he's the seventh generation from Abraham. B'chol ha'shvi'in chavivin, and every seventh one has a special quality. V'ahaynu she'etzel Moshe, that means that for Abraham, for Moses, hayav gilui shem havaya, there was the revelation of this name, the tetragrammaton name, the name Yudke Vavke. Shezer b'chinat ha'shabbat, he had the quality of the Shabbat, Shalemaylo misheshit yemei bereshit, which is higher than the 6 days of creation. V'zeu gamma shemoshe haya ben shmonim shana, and that links also to the fact that he's 80 years old. Shezeu inyam madregat habina, then that's the level of understanding. Shehilemaylo mishivat yemei abinyan, which is higher than the 7 days of creation. Va'inyan b'zeh. And this means, as it's known, now here it goes into a complexity in the world of the Sphira, that there's Bina and Tvuna. And Bina is the power of understanding as a spiritual power beyond, and Tvuna is the way we apply that understanding in the actual world. So here it gives an example from the Talmud. Dinyana tfuna, which is a kind of a word that comes from the word bina, it's practical understanding. That is the intellect, the way it relates to practicality. Whereas bina is the idea of the intellect, the way it is in itself. For example, the Talmud tells us about shnayim ochazim betalit. There are two people who are, they found a talit. Two people have found a talit. This is the beginning of tractate Bava Metzia in the Talmud, the middle gate. And two people have found a talit, and each one says, I found it, it's mine, I found it. And they come along to the Bet Din, and the question is, how should the Bet Din rule and what should they do? So there's two people holding the talit. Now, from the point of view of tvuna, which is the practical intelligence, the question is, what do we do with this talit, this garment, this expensive garment that they're arguing over? But when we're talking about understanding on the higher level, the concept, the discussion is, it's not the talit as an actual talit. It's the whole theoretical concept of what does it mean possession, and what does it mean finding something, and to what extent does the fact that you find something and then you take hold of it, to what extent does that make you the owner of that thing? It's on a much more abstract level. So you can have a kind of abstract intellect, which is involved with abstractions, and a practical intellect, which is concerned with the actual reality of this world. So the abstract concept leads us higher and higher. Shezel ikai inyana Torah, and that's what the Torah is really about, because the Torah is Torato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the Torah of God. As we say in the blessing we make on the Torah, whenever we get up in the morning, we're supposed to say a blessing on the Torah, that we say, Asher bachabanu, that God chose us from all peoples, v'natan lanu et torato. Every man and woman is supposed to say this every morning in the daily prayers. God gave us his Torah. And there, it's not talking about physical things, it's talking about spiritual things beyond. And of course, learning about these spiritual things in the Torah also has to come down to the practicalities of life as well. So that's why the concept of tfunah is a very significant concept, this practical intellect. But on the other hand, binah is the one, binah, understanding, that's the eighth level, which is higher than the world. And that is the level of the 80 years which Moshe had when he stood before Pharaoh. And it's through that that we are able to get the redemption. So in other words, the redemption comes from the abstract level of understanding as that flows down into our lives here and illuminates our lives here in this world. Now, I find this, I'm gonna stop sharing for a minute. I find this little passage very interesting because that power of understanding beyond the world could be understood as referring to Hasidic teachings, because Hasidic teachings are precisely, they differ. Hasidic teachings differ from much of the Talmud. Much of the Talmud is about very practical things, like two people find a talit, an expensive garment, and they grab hold of it together, and each one is claiming it. And the court, the Bet Din, has to decide, should they divide it in half, and how should they do that? Should one keep it and pay the other one half the value? Or it's very much involved with practical things. And through much of the Talmud, it's all about different kinds of practicality. But when we take, now there's another aspect of the Talmud, which is the Agadata in the Talmud. Now Eleanor was mentioning earlier, now the Agadata, the stories in the Talmud, are not about practical things for the most part. Sometimes they are, but more often not. And there it's a kind of spiritual dimension. And that is really opening the way to the mystical tradition, the Kabbalistic tradition, the Hasidic tradition, where we are beyond the practicalities of the world and we're looking at things in spiritual terms. So, so I find it interesting that the power of redemption from Egypt, as we just learned in the discourse together, comes from the attribute bina, understanding, which is the level of understanding beyond the practicalities of existence. And so it's through illuminating our minds with that power of spiritual understanding that we are able to achieve individually redemption and our own personal lives. And from that level of redemption, we have the concept in Hasidic thought that from the individual achieving his or her redemption, we are able to achieve redemption on a global scale, that there's redemption for the entire world. Okay, are there any comments at this point or questions? No. Okay, all right, so let's go back then to the text. Now we're going to connect together Moses and the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Omnam, however, and so this is on page Tet, page 9, it's section 5. Omnam, however, Av sha'inyan yetziat Mitzrayim haya tzarich liyot, even though the idea of going out of Egypt had to be Al Yidei Moshe Dafka through Moses. And in that itself, the level of Moses. Now, and that particularly when Moses was 80, Mikol makom, nonetheless, tzricha liyot, there has to be also gama netinat koach mibchinat ha'avot. There has to be a kind of empowerment from the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so that's why Rashi at the beginning, when God says to him, Ani Hashem, I am God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Rashi says, the reason God says to Moses, you know what, I'm sending you to bring the Jews out of Egypt in order to fulfill the promise I gave to the Avot, to the patriarchs. And in fact, we find that the idea of the redemption from Egypt connects with the birth of the patriarchs. It says in the Talmud, this is in Rosh Hashanah, that on Nisan, the month, so there in Rosh Hashanah, it talks about like different months of the year and different kinds of Rosh Hashanah, different kinds of New Year. It says, "B'Nisan noldu avot." In Nisan, in the month of Nisan, the patriarchs were born. And in Nisan, Nigalu, and in Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt. And the Talmud goes on, B'Nisan atidin Nigael, and the future redemption will also be in Nisan. So that means the fact that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were born in Nisan gives a special quality. And so here we have the comparison, as it were, or the connection with of the patriarchs together with Moses. So we need to have both Moses with all the special qualities that he'd achieved, and we also need this special redemptive power that comes from the patriarchs in themselves. Now we get the term for the patriarchs that Rashi uses is Avot Harishonim. I just want to say a little bit more about this text that we're studying. It was began in 1964. The Jewish year began in the autumn of 1964, the month of Tishrei. Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. And on the 6th of Tishrei that year, the Rebbe's mother passed away. And that had a very great effect on the Rebbe. And one of the things he did that for the following year, every single Shabbat, he made a Hasidic gathering. Previously, that had not been the case. And also, he began his in-depth discussion of Rashi's commentary on the Torah. So that was a kind of gift that he made to his departed mother in memory of his mother. And through the years, till the end of his life, he was giving fascinating comments on Rashi's commentary on the Torah, which is an important part of the work of the academic, like the scholarly work of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but quite apart from the Chabad houses that he organized and the outreach campaigns. But there's also his scholarly dimension, one of which is these discourses, very important part of it. Also his commentary on Rashi's commentary on the Torah. Now, so Rashi makes the point that it's Avot Harishonim, the early, the patriarchs who are Rishonim, the early patriarchs. Why does he have to add the word Rishonim, that they're early? Obviously they're early. So the Rebbe explains this in line 12. The Yesh Levai is there. Now we can explain this. Our Pia Yadua, according to the Kabbalistic idea, I'm just going to look in note 50 and see who it comes from. It gives quotes to Hasidic discourses of the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rasha, that the word Rishon, Kai, but these are footnotes which are given by the editors. The editors who are today writing the Dvar Malchut, and they're trying to add, or earlier people who are editing these discourses. This is not edited by the Rebbe, and I suspect that there are earlier sources that the word Rishon, the first, means Sfirat HaKeter. Might be Rav Moshe Kodavero, might be an earlier Kabbalist. So the idea that Rishon means the attribute Keter, crown. And that's why the Avod are called Arishonim, the patriarchs are called the first. Because the idea of the Avod is the three attributes, kindness, severity, and splendor, which means mercy. So kindness, severity, and mercy, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But those midot, those emotional attributes, come from Keter. Now, that's the interesting thing, that that from Keter comes the emotion as well, and the feeling, the positive feeling that a person has in the emotion of love, in the emotion of awe, in the emotion of mercy. That comes from the quality of Keter. So the point is, Dehine mitzad madregat ha'avot kafi shesharechim limidot chesed gvura tiferet. The way the patriarchs relate to these three attributes, kindness, severity, and mercy. There are aspects of their service which distinguish each of those patriarchs from each other. Like Abraham would invite guests, and Isaac would dig wells, and Jacob went through all kinds of things. And one of the things he did was he made these sticks, the spotted sticks, which he put in the water troughs. And so the sheep that drank from the water troughs, seeing the spotted sticks, they bore baby sheep which were spotted. And that is considered a kind of a spiritual, a cosmic spiritual activity, like the activity of tefillin later on, but here it's in spiritual terms. So that is something that each of the avod, each of the patriarchs, is able to do their own specific dimension of service. Now, this is why I mentioned before, someone commented at how the patriarchs went through terrible problems. And so I said that later the discourse will present this dimension of the patriarchs as something where they are actually fulfilling their service. Matisyahu, did you say you wanted to speak? Did you put up your hand to say you wanted to speak? No. No, okay. If anyone wants to speak, you can just unmute and say something. Yeah, because I might not know this. Now, ach yeshno inyan na'ale yoter etzlavo, but there's an even higher dimension for the patriarchs because of their root in the attribute of Keter. And that's why they're called Rishonim. That's why they're called the Rishonim, the first, because that's something which is beyond the distinction into different qualities of kindness, severity, and so on. So that is a higher, and that's a higher level altogether. So that leads us to the last section. And I'll just stop for a moment in case there's any question at this point. Is everything clear so far? Haven't lost you? Yeah, you're all there. Okay, beautiful. All right, lovely. Everyone's still on board. That's the main thing. So now we come to the last section, which I must confess to you, I have not read this evening. So probably learned it at an earlier time. But not this evening. So let's see what it says. The Yesh Lakasha Inyan Zen. Now this can be connected with the Yard Side, Yom Ha'ilulah Shel Rabbeinu HaZaken B'Kafdalet Tevet. The fact of the Yard Side of the Rabbi Shneur Zalman on the 24th of Tevet, which is today. So Shekfiyoto B'Chama B'Chama Shanim, which in many years, Hebrew Parshat Va'era is in the week of Parshat Va'era as it is this week. And in fact, today is the 24th of Tevet. When the Rebbe said this discourse, it was on Shabbat, which was later. It was the 28th of Tevet. But he's now talking about the 24th, which happens to be today when we're studying the discourse. Of course, today was the 24th, and technically tonight is the 25th. the next day. But when we consider spiritual things, very often we see the night following the day. And so therefore we're still in the mood of the 24th of Tev. Now, apart from all the special details of his service of God, as a general soul, now a Rebbe is a general soul. The Rabbi Shneur Zalman was a great Rebbe with many Hasidim, many followers. A general soul is a person who is able to be a leader of thousands of people, because those people connect intimately with his own soul, and he can feel, as it were, those people. He can sense them, and he cares about them, and he devotes himself to helping them. That's what a Rebbe is. A Rebbe isn't just a very clever person. The fact that a Rebbe is clever is an important dimension to a Rebbe. If he's not clever, he couldn't be a Rebbe. If he's not a great saint. But apart from being a great saint, he's a person with great love. And the love is to the people who connect to his soul. And that, so there used to be an idea at the beginning of Hasidism, a person would look for the Rebbe who is the root of their own soul. But as we come down the generations, there are certain Rebbeim who are particularly ready to accept responsibility for every Jew in the world, or perhaps for every human being in the world. And that's the special quality of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, our Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he, looking back to the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he speaks of him as this general soul, and also in the Shama Chadasha. Now that's taught about in various Kabbalistic ideas, the fact that most souls are Gilgulim. They are incarnations of souls that existed earlier, but it is the Rabbi Shneur Zalman is seen as a new soul. Va'al yado hitchil gilui v'hafatzat Torat Chassidut Chabad. Through him began the revelation and the spreading of the teachings of Chabad. And that's a very, very inspiring quality. He took very seriously what the Baal Shem Tov said, that Mashiach told him in a spiritual experience of Aliyat HaNeshama, an ascent of his soul, that through Hafatzat HaMayanot, through the spreading of the fountains to the outside, that's how Mashiach will come. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman took that very seriously, and he worked hard to spread the teachings of Hasidut. And that's something which is very exalted. And so that's why he had, now Rabbi Shneur Zalman had a very exalted quality, that he used to declare, "Mi li b'shamayim, who is there for me in heaven? V'imcha lo chafatzi ba'aretz. I do not want, apart from you, I do not want anything in the world." As it used to be heard when he was in an inspired state, and it's in Yiddish, "Ich will ze gonet, I don't want them at all. Ich will nit dein Gan Eden, I don't want your Garden of Eden. Ich will nit dein Olam Haba, I do not want your world to come. Ich will me nit as dich allein. I want only you," he says to God. And that's something which is completely beyond. And that's the idea of the Avot HaRishonim, of the early patriarchs, the sphere of Keter. And then there's a further concept. Apart from the fact that we get this tremendous flow and empowerment from Rabbi Shneur Zalman, Shebetorat Chassidut Chabad, that in Chabad Chassidism, Mudgash HaTzorech Ba'avodah B'Koach Atzmo Davka. It's emphasized that we have to have the quality of service with our own effort. Kayadua, as is known, B'Chiluk Shebein Chassidut Chabad, the difference between Chabad Chassidim, V'Chassidut Chagat, and the Chassidim of Chagat, Chesed Gvura Tiferet, which is the way generally that in Chabad it refers to the Chassidim of Poland, Vizhnitz, Bobov, Belz, and so on. Shezeu al derech amur. So in other words, what is the difference? The feeling that in general Chassidism outside Chabad, the Rebbe picks you up and lifts you up. And in Chabad, yes, the Rebbe is empowering you, but you have to make the effort yourself. So that is an important concept. In Chabad, you have to make the effort yourself. You have avodah b'koach atzmo, the service with your own effort. And there's a beautiful passage that is written that with someone else's power, you can reach higher. But if you're doing it with your own power, it's more precious. Because by us trying to serve God with our own power, even though that may not be as great as the power of some greater person, but nonetheless, with our own power, that is more precious. And so then, and also we have to have not only the cerebral dimension, but also the practical dimension of being active, avodah b'poel, through, that means service in practical terms, through all those years. And we come to the last paragraph of the discourse. All this affects the idea of going out of Egypt, which is there every day. Now, this is something that it says in Tanya. It actually says in the Mishnah, in every generation, a person should feel that he himself has gone out of Egypt. And in Tanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman adapts this phrase. And he says, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, u'v'chol yom v'yom, in every single day, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, a man or woman has to see themselves, ki'ilu hu yatza hayom, as if he or she went out today, mimitzrayim. And how do we do that? This comes with Kriyat Shema, by saying the Shema. There's the saying the Shema in the morning, they're saying the Shema in the evening prayer, they're saying the Shema before going to sleep. And the idea of the saying of the Shema, it represents Mesirut Nefesh, the surrender of the soul, which is beyond any kind of limitation. And then that's Mesirut Nefesh, that's self-sacrifice in a spiritual way. It goes beyond, and also it affects the entire day, because the Kriyat Shema of the morning affects the day, and the Kriyat Shema in the evening affects the whole night. And so therefore we have this inspired sense of self-transcendence the whole day through. And therefore, even when the Seder of one's service is, as Rabbi Yishmael says, that you have to be Va'asavta deganecha, you have to gather in your crops. Hanheg b'hem min hagderech eretz, live in a natural way. And the Gemara says that many people lived the way Rabbi Yishmael said, living in a natural way. In other words, going to work, having a job, earning money. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he said, I'm only going to study Torah, I'm not going to work. And this Talmud says a lot of people tried to imitate Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and it didn't work. It wasn't because that's the they were like relying on miracles, and that's not advised. So we have to generally follow Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's pathway is to have a job and be organized and earn money and so on. But you can't just have that. But you also have koveya itim la Torah, that one fixes time for Torah study. And not only that, but the Torah study we study should be in a way which is beyond limitations. What does it mean, beyond limitations? She'eino mistakel al ha'shaon, you don't look at the clock. Because we're learning in a way of limudosha Rabbi Yishmael ba'atzmo. We're learning in the way of Rabbi Yishmael himself. Although he says, get a job and live a normal life, in his Torah study, he was beyond limitations. And this comes out through the Moshe, which is inside every individual man and woman. And it's speaking about, the Moshe inside us speaks with the Paro inside us, the Pharaoh, and has an effect on that Pharaoh, which is the animal soul, until the servitude is dissolved away and we leave exile and we go to redemption together. Right, so that is the end of our, what I would consider very beautiful discourse.
Wow.